ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is Ashley Warren, UX researcher at ShortStack, and we're going to talk about UX research panels today. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks, cloud accounting software for freelancers and small business owners. The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed with powerful features. Create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. Set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. See when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing games. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UI Breakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to start with a short questionnaire and then continue to the main topic. How does that sound?
That sounds great to me.
Awesome. Question number one is, what do you do for a living?
So I am a researcher, data scientist, and technical writer for ShortStack.com, which is a promotion and campaign builder for social media. I also do freelance work as a researcher for writers and creatives through my own side business, Ashley Warren Research, but my main gig is definitely being here at ShortStack.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of your background story. How did you get there?
Sure. So I received my master's degree from the University of Nevada, Reno in literacy studies, much of which is closely linked to user experience. So understanding how people communicate, comprehend, access, and interpret information on the web. So much of my research in graduate school was focused on how people use the web in various capacities. So I observed and studied that behavior in different ways. And I have a background in web publishing as well before I got to my current role. So I'm a researcher and a writer by trade, but I'm not a designer. So I think that has given me kind of a unique approach to UX.
Wonderful. That's quite a unique talent combination.
Yeah, totally.
What does your typical day look like?
So every day starts with me checking our analytics using various tools, including Google Analytics or Mixpanel or Hotjar if we're running heat maps or some sort of recordings. And then I make time every week to look at existing research in academic journals on topics like web literacy or optimization, marketing trends, and so on. And every day I work closely with our content team to provide data and insight for our various projects. And I also collaborate with our designers to structure test methodology and give feedback on wireframes and mocks. And some of these tasks also involve writing, whether it's back-end content like documentation or front-end content like white papers. Our team is really small and close-knit, so we all wear many hats. And I function as kind of a one-woman research department with collaborators in each of our other departments.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you do have a special dedicated UX research person, which is already amazing.
Sure, yeah.
Somehow, in other companies, it's supposed to be designers doing both implementation and research.
Right, and my position kind of evolved over time. I've been here for about 3 years, so that wasn't necessarily always my dedicated role, but that's really what my skills are in, so it kind of just evolved to be that role, but I think hopefully my company agrees that since we've had someone to just be dedicated to that's really improved our product.
So that we understand, what kind of deliverables do you produce and share with your teammates?
So I do pretty much anything that can fall under researcher data tends to fall into my lap. So sometimes that means running usability tests with people who we actually bring into our office, or I'll do remote usability tests, and then I'll write a report based off of those findings, and then I'll share them with our developers and our designers. I also do a lot of reports on our analytics. So, I mean, a lot of my job is basically writing reports on different aspects of our data. And I like to also share the actual recordings of our usability tests with my team just so they can really see firsthand how people are using our service. So that's always pretty interesting to everyone, to include everyone in that process.
What do you enjoy the most and the least about your work?
Oh man, there's a lot I love about my job. And like I think I just mentioned, I've been here for 3 years. Actually, my 3-year anniversary was last week. And every day is totally different. I really enjoy running usability tests with people in person just because it's really fun to just get to sit beside someone and watch how they use something that we've worked really hard on. And I'd say the thing that I like the least is not always being able to answer the why questions in our analytics when I see numbers that concern me. There's only so much that analytics platforms can tell us about our users. So I'm a big proponent of mixed methods research, both qualitative and quantitative, to help to fill in those gaps. So sometimes it can be kind of frustrating when I feel like I have to chase data around in different services to try to answer a simple question. But any sort of problem solving with data and research usually excites me. And I also love any opportunity to write and produce content. So those are definitely the things that I love the most.
Wonderful. What is your next big thing?
Well, my personal goal here is always to continue optimizing our platform. I went with some of my colleagues to the Conversion XL conference earlier this year, and I was really inspired by everything that I learned. So I'm hoping to put a lot of that information into practice. And ShortStack has some really cool new features coming out later this year. So I like being part of that entire process from the initial mocks and the wireframes to the documentation when it's all ready to go live. So that's basically what I have on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. So you're putting your joy into the process of growing your company.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So now let's talk about the main topic. And this is UX research panels.
Yes.
I came across an amazing article of yours, which I'm going to link to in the show notes, which is why UX researchers should use a research panel. But I would like to start with a question. What is a research panel?
Sure. So a research panel is basically just a group of your users who are willing to help you with your research. So they've opted in to the process of being part of your research, whether that's through surveys or through conducting usability tests. But they're people who are currently using your platform and are willing to weigh in on features or ideas that you may have.
Oh, so how do you start? Let's imagine you have no idea and you have not had one before. How do you start putting together
sure.
a research panel?
There's a few approaches to this, and I see a lot of companies do this a little bit differently. Something that I really like is when I see that companies have a checkbox that lets you opt in when you create an account. I think that that's a nice way to get people involved in the process really early on. And I also think that it says something about a company when you can tell that they're actively doing research to improve their product. So I think maybe just for a new user, that might be something that's nice to see, that they want to include you in on the process and give you that buy-in. We personally sent out an email to our big email list to recruit users to our usability research panel. And this was just basically a casual email, just letting them know like what the research panel was and how we plan to contact them, and just to give them an opportunity to sign up. So we just took them to a landing page and they just gave us their email address, which is the main way that I contact them. And I do that every few months to recruit new people. But really the easiest way is to either have it as part of your sign-up process or to send out an email to people who have already subscribed to your newsletter.
Is so that we understand the relationship. Is there any kind of reward or compensation, or is it just their big interest?
It's a bit of both. We don't necessarily give a reward to every single project that we do with our research panel. Sometimes using the research panel is just a matter of me sending them a really short survey of like, which option do you like most? Just a preference test. So for those little ones, we don't necessarily give out prizes or gift cards or anything substantial. But we do like to reward the research panel with either additional features in their account with ShortStack, or we'll send them some swag like t-shirts or stickers. And when we're doing a really big survey or a really extensive usability test that takes a lot of time, then we usually do reward with gift cards or something, you know, more substantial. But I try to keep what the gifts are to a minimum, just so I don't create any bias with the results, because I mean, if people think that they're getting a gift card, they might be more willing to give us lots of positive feedback, whereas they might be a little bit more critical and honest if they know that there's not necessarily a big prize involved.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. What is the benefit of using specific small groups of people as opposed to, you know, just sending out a big decision-making survey to the entire audience of the product?
Sure. I feel like we get better feedback when we target just our research panel. I've looked at a lot of our email open rates between both our big list and our research panel. And those who have opted into our research panel tend to be more invested in answering the questions that we have. So they're more likely to respond. So we tend to get better, faster feedback from that. Whereas our big list, they might not necessarily be interested in answering questions for us. So one of the benefits of having a research panel is that you have people who are willing to help you out. So they're more willing to open your email and take your survey or actually follow through with the tests that you're trying to run. So it's nice to have people who are expecting to be included in those types of projects.
My guess is also that they are kind of more qualified and you'll get better, you know, they're probably qualified on some kind of, for example, their lifetime of revenue or something like that. More qualified as opposed to the whole big pool of users.
That can definitely be true. I mean, people who sign up for the research panel tend to be people who are usually actively using our platform already. So they're kind of our dream users in general already. So it's nice to have them participate in our research process. And yeah, they tend to be people who have been with us for a long time. So they have kind of a different perspective than maybe some of our new users who don't necessarily know how they want to weigh in yet. There is the chance that this creates its own kind of bias, because if the research panel isn't necessarily reflective of your greater user base, you might be making changes based off of that insight that might not necessarily apply to everyone who uses your platform. So that's something to be aware of. But I feel like if the people who sign up for our research panel are paid users who are really excited about our platform, who have been with us for a long time, and they're willing to talk to us and answer questions, then those are the people that we want more of anyway. So it doesn't hurt to use their input to kind of affect how we design and promote new features.
Mm-hmm. Do you tend to have a few panels, like user groups, you know, by some criteria, or do you just have one to address?
I have segmented my research panel. So we have about 500 or so people in it. And that's kind of always changing based off of people who decide that they're going to opt out for a while or new people who opt in. So within that group, I'm able to segment into different types of lists. So some of those are, you know, free users or people at different plan levels or people whose plans are at different lifetimes. So I do segment, and that does depend on what type of research I'm doing. Like if I'm looking for input on a feature that pertains to a certain plan level, then I might reach out to those users specifically. But a lot of the time, I actually just contact the whole research panel just because I usually want as many responses as possible. Although if I'm doing usability testing recordings that are a little bit more time consuming, then I usually keep my group a little smaller and I'll handpick those participants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you just started out, I would love to hear where did you get your inspiration for it? Because the idea is totally brilliant. And can you tell us about your first, you know, experiment and how it turned out?
Sure. So I know that I'm certainly not the first to do a research panel, and I'm trying to remember exactly where I saw it. I do know that there are usability testing platforms, and I think Usability Hub is one of them, that allows people to opt into their research panel. And I remember seeing that when I created an account, and I was like, oh, that's a really cool idea to just have, you know, an actual group of people who you can use for research. And it also kind of arose out of just personal need, because I had been running lots of usability tests with people in our community, because everyone here in my office has lots of friends who are marketers or designers or people whose professions seem to be the same as our users who are using our platform. But we were kind of exhausting that network of people. So I needed more people that I could test. And what better, you know, use of our users than to just contact them directly about it. So I don't remember exactly where I heard about a research panel. Part of it is that my background is in academia, so I'm used to, you know, having a group of people to study just through focus groups or doing qualitative studies. So it's kind of just in my nature as a researcher to use a research panel and to create one when I need to do a study. But this one just ended up being kind of multi-purpose and has just become a group of people now who are really dedicated to helping us out. I think the first I did a few experiments early on where we just basically surveyed them for their preferences on some new features we were going to launch. And when I first started it, I also released the same survey to our bigger email list just to see if the responses were comparable, because I wanted to make sure that our research panel was somewhat reflective of our bigger user base. It's not that the information wouldn't have been helpful if it wasn't, but I wanted to make sure that we were acting on, you know, statistically significant information. So I ran, I ran a few surveys to both groups, actually, just, you know, to use as my control, my variable. And the responses ended up being actually pretty reflective of each other. So that was nice. But that's something that I did pretty early on to kind of test my research panel to see if their input was wildly different from our users, then maybe we can do different kinds of tests with those people. But it ended up actually, to my luck, being pretty reflective of that. So yeah, we did mostly some preference tests pretty early on with my research panel. And that's always a super easy way to get feedback, is just either sending them a quick survey or sending them some screenshots of, here's two things that we're thinking of doing. Which option do you like better? And do you have any other thoughts on this?
Mm-hmm. What other tests can you run to your panel?
I mean, honestly, any type of usability test that you ever want to run, I think is super useful. I mean, surveys are always a good one just because they're easy. You could do preference tests. You can do 5 seconds tests, which I kind of have mixed feelings about, just as I'm not quite sure if that's always a super helpful test for designers or researchers. I think that if you want to actually do full usability tests where you do recordings, I've done that a few times with my research panel where I've sent people, you know, a link to, you know, Skype or Google Hangouts, and we'll do like a screen share, and I'll just sit with them for about a half hour and watch how they use the platform based off of a specific goal that I have in mind. Like, for instance, we've been testing some of our new pricing structure. So that's something that I've been doing with usability tests, is seeing like how people are actually navigating our new pricing page. So essentially any type of test, that any question that you have about your platform, like how people are using something, why they're doing something, why people may be abandoning a task that you think is really important, basically any of your questions, you can go to your research panel. And if you're in doubt about the methodology that works best for that, all you really needed to do is just email them and just be like, hey, what are your thoughts on this? That's kind of the easiest way to collect data in a pretty casual, non-structured way.
I'm super curious, for a request like that, what would the response rate would be for your research panelist?
So, I mean, it really depends on what time of day I'm sending out emails. I try to always send emails out usually in the morning around like 10 a.m. or so, to make sure that the most people can see it. Because if I'm sending things out too late in the day, then they might miss it, or they might be too busy at work to really answer. So I try to, the open rate really depends on factors like that. But I mean, I always kind of think, I try to be realistic, not necessarily pessimistic, but I always try to assume that I'm not going to get a lot of responses. So I try to make the process of answering questions as easy as possible. So, I mean, traditionally, I feel like most of our open rates in our greater company are usually around 20% or so. So I usually try to think that I'm going to get about a 20% response rate. Although sometimes I'm surprised, and sometimes I get like a ton of responses, like sometimes up to half of my research panel. And even more so if I actually persist and I send them a few follow-up emails, and I tend to get pretty good responses. So I, depending on what my question is for them on that day, I don't always need a ton of responses. Like sometimes if I'm running a usability test, I only really need, you know, maybe up to 10 participants to do screen recordings with. If I want to do a survey where I'm hoping for statistical significance, then I really need to get as many responses as possible so I can act on those numbers. So honestly, I mean, it's not a very good answer, but it kind of depends on what I'm asking them.
Why, it totally makes sense. What would be the mistakes that you would recommend to avoid while doing that?
I would recommend not necessarily bombarding your research panel with questions every single day. What's nice about, I mean, because it's tempting. When I first kind of put together my research panel, I was like, oh my gosh, I have all these people now who want to help me with my research. This is going to be so easy. I can just basically contact them whenever I want just to get their feedback. And honestly, even if I did that, they would probably still help me. But I don't think that's very, I think there should be some mutual respect there of their time. Obviously, these people are professionals and they have other things to do than just, you know, help out your specific platform. So I would say, you can use them regularly, I think it's nice to just be in touch with them regularly so that they know that you're actively doing research and they're part of that process. But I would recommend to not necessarily contact them too much. Like, I would say like no more than once a week. And even that, I would say maybe even once a month would be enough, depending on what type of research you're doing. If you're doing quick surveys, I think you can do that a little bit more frequently. But if you're asking them for a lot of their time and input, then I would recommend not over contacting them, because then they're going to get burnt out and they might leave, and then you'll have to recruit new people to your research panel. So that's definitely something that I would recommend, is creating a schedule for how you plan to use your research panel.
Is there any special trick that you use to keep them particularly loyal, or are they just loyal platform users and that's it?
Honestly, I could get more creative with how I recruit people, in the sense that I could target people specifically who have been with our platform since the beginning and see if they want to participate. But honestly, I want to know, I like having my research panel be as broad as possible, because I want the most diversity in feedback. So loyalty kind of just comes because they feel like they're an active part of your development process. And it's cool for people to see how their input can, you know, take place from, you know, the early stages to actually like implementing features that may arise because of their own needs. And since these people are, they're using our platform for a reason, it's because they need a platform like ours for their business. So the more that they can recommend the things that they need, the more that they get out of our service as well. So it kind of works both ways. Like, we get valuable research, but they also get, you know, to be the first people to try out new features that may actually make a big difference for them and their companies. So I think the buy-in just comes from just being a part of that process. I think a lot of companies, it can feel very distant to, you know, pay or use a product that you don't really know the team behind it. But, you know, being in contact with me personally, and we have, you know, a rapport, I think helps people feel more invested in the product in general, and not just monetarily.
Absolutely. What do you do with the data that you receive?
Sure. So all the data that I receive, I'm very transparent about all the data that we collect, just because I want everyone on my team to know how our users are using our platform. So what I'll do is I'll share it with our designers, usually first, because then we can come up with some ideas for things together. And then we'll come up with some mocks or wireframes, and then we'll usually present it to our dev team, who will let us know kind of what the time frame might be on something like that, or if there's something like that already in the works that they can kind of rope that new idea into. So yeah, it usually goes, I do the research, I structure the research, and I usually even test out my surveys and all my tests with our content team to make sure that everything is a seamless process for our research panel. Then our designers will work with me on coming up with some new ideas, and then we go to our dev team, and then from there it kind of becomes reality or not. I mean, it depends on how compelling my data is, honestly. Like, I always try to make sure that my data is a significant snapshot of what our users really want. Like, for instance, if someone has a really great idea, but only one person really seems to have, you know, a passion for that idea, that's not necessarily something that our team can work on at this time, just because there's not necessarily enough people who have support for it. So I do have to be diligent in providing data to both our designers and our developers that is actually worth acting on.
Can you give us a bit of insight into your company's, you know, product road mapping process? How do you figure out what to work on next? What software you use to store all this information and to make your decisions?
Sure. I mean, I'm off kind of in my own department, so I'm not necessarily always a part of the actual pipeline of feature development. I mostly just kind of provide data upon request. But basically how it works, I mean, we have a lot of long-term goals for what we want our product to be. So actually at this point, we've been around for about 7 years now. So our product is not necessarily new, but we're basically launching a bunch of new features kind of as part of our long-term goals. So how that works is basically at this point, we have these ideas that we've had for a long time. So it's now a matter of testing them to make sure that these are things that people still want. So that's kind of where I come in, is that I'm constantly talking to our users to find out if, for instance, building out some new email features, like we launched autoresponders last year and we're building out some new email features for our users. like what part of those things are the most important for them so that we can actually make sure that our engineer time is going toward the right features. So then I'll do research and then I'll share that with the engineers to let them know, like, here's kind of what our user said about this and here's where I think you should put your time. And then as a team, everyone kind of decides, like, this seems to be a feature that is most important to our users in order to complete their goal. So then basically everyone kind of goes all in on developing that feature. And then I, while it's happening, I'm basically working on the next research project. And in terms of like tools and whatnot, I mean, I'm not, since I'm not necessarily a developer, I'm kind of out of the loop for that whole project, but I don't know. I mean, I basically live in Google Docs and, and Google Drive and storing recordings through things like Hotjar. We use Hotjar a lot to record how our users are using our platform and also running heat maps. So, I mean, I'm basically using a mix of Excel and Google Sheets and Google Docs to make sure that all my research is always available to everyone at all times. It's really important to me to be transparent in the data that I collect so that everyone feels like, you know, they can have a part in seeing all that information. Because I feel like in our company, knowing how our users are using our platform is very interesting and important to every department. I think we only have 17 people in our whole staff. So everyone is very invested in making sure that our users are happy. So a lot of just my job is just making sure that that information is readily available to everyone.
Thank you so much for giving us a sneak peek into your process. That's
sure.
Very private, I understand.
I mean, there's honestly, I mean, we function on basically simple tools. I mean, we use Slack a lot. We use a lot, you know, a lot of the tools that lots of other teams rely on. I like using Usability Hub for usability tests. For surveys, since ShortStack is also a tool that you can actually use to make surveys, I end up using our own platform a lot actually to collect information, just because that's just the nature of this of our service. So that's actually pretty helpful to use our own product to do our own research.
Yes, in terms of product development, it can be super precious to be a user of your own stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
One question about the size of the panel. Let's imagine it's a product that's just starting out. So
sure.
it's really hard to recruit, you know, more than, I don't know, 20 people, for example, or something.
Sure.
Is it still valuable then?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the size of your research panel should be relative to the size of your company. And because if you, so for instance, if you only have a user base of, you know, 100 people, then having, you know, 20 people is actually a pretty substantial part of your user base. And that can still be pretty reflective of how your users are using your platform. So I don't necessarily think that it's always a matter of just having a bunch of like a huge group of people, because I think, like I mentioned earlier, it depends on what the type of questions you're asking. Not every question needs a ton of responses to be, you know, a significant question that you can answer. Sometimes if you're doing more hands-on usability tests, you only need the perspective of a few people, because in qualitative research, you don't need as many people to answer your questions. If you're doing quantitative research where you're really looking for, you know, those big survey answers, then you might want to strive for as many people as you can get. But if that's 100 people for you, then that's 100 people. And that's still totally worthwhile data. So I don't necessarily think that having a bunch of people is super important. I think what's most important about the research panel is that they're of your existing users and they're willing to give you feedback no matter how many people that is, because you can still get some really good insight from that. And that's why I think that using opt-in checkbox, especially if you're a new company, can be a good way to recruit people to your research panel early on, because then that list will always grow as your platform grows.
That's a wonderful piece of advice. Being a dedicated, you know, UX research professional, mm-hmm. Do you find yourself primarily working with the research panel or with the main list?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, it depends on the day and it depends on what type of research we're doing. Most of the time, I try to work directly with my research panel, just because they're people that I've specifically recruited through, you know, just contacting our greater user base. Because I've already contacted our greater user base to see if they want to participate, these people have already agreed to that. So I know that when I'm contacting them, they're people who I know I'll probably get a good response from. So most of the time, like lately, we've been asking our research panel about some new feature ideas. So I've been using our research panel pretty pretty closely, more than our big group. We also try to limit how much we contact our big email list, because it's not the only email that we send out every, you know, week. It's not just about research. So we send out, you know, input about or information about new campaign ideas or our new blog posts or things like that. So I can't always use our big email list as a resource for research just because we're using them for other purposes already. So my research panel is usually my go-to place for doing research.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us an insight, if you have that information? Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, how often do you email your big list, not just for research?
Sure. I would say at least once a week. We send out, and we try to vary what we send out to our email list just so that we're very like respectful of people's inboxes and their time, and we don't want to feel like we're spamming them. So we'll send them a showcase of cool things that people have made with ShortStack, I think every other week. And then when we're not sending them that, we'll send them some other campaign ideas, or we'll just get in touch with them to see if they need any of our help with our support team. So I would say that we're contacting our big email list at least once a week, usually not more than that, because we're pretty conscious of how much we're contacting them. So anytime there's a spare week or so that we haven't already contacted them, sometimes I'll swoop in and I'll send them an email just as additional data, because honestly, the more data I have, the better, you know, I can recommend things to the rest of my team. So yeah, I would say about once a week to our email list. And I think we have like 200,000 people on that list. So it's a pretty big list of people that we're contacting regularly.
Wonderful. As we're closing up today, mm-hmm. can you recommend any reading or resources, blogs or books that people can read up on regarding UX panels, UX research panels, or UX research in general?
Sure. I mean, Usability Hub has been an awesome resource, not just because I, you know, wrote an article about research panels for them, but I really enjoy reading about other people's experiments. It's really useful for me as a researcher to read other people's research just so I can see what their methodology is. And Usability Hub, I've only written the one piece for them, but I read a lot of other articles there that are very scientific and very technical that really go into the actual step-by-step of like conducting actual research and how they've analyzed their results. So it's always really useful for me to see other people's methodology. And I also really enjoy ConversionXL's content. Like I mentioned, I went to their conference earlier this year, and their blog is really, really interesting just about optimization, but it's also another good insight into how research works at different companies, because not every company, you know, is the same. Every company has a different size user base, has different goals in mind, has different research questions. So what works for my company might not work for another company, but I always like to see how companies of different sizes do research. So I really personally enjoy ConversionXL and all of the content that they produce. And I'd also recommend, I mean, if people are a little bit more academically inclined, to look at research journals. There's lots of great UX research journals. There's like the actual Journal of Usability Studies that I think is a great resource just to kind of actually have real data and science behind trends or things that might be kind of our gut feelings as designers and researchers, but are actually substantiated by data. So those would be my recommendations.
Wonderful. And where can people find your work online?
Sure. Well, you can definitely visit us at shortstack.com. And we're on Twitter at shortstacklab and on Facebook, facebook.com/shortstacklab. You can connect with me, Ashley, at shortstacklab.com. And if you're interested in any of my other research that's not quite as UX focused, my website is ashleywarrenresearch.com. Every now and then there's some overlap there, but basically my whole life is research. So you'll find lots of research stuff on any platform that you connect with me on.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight today. It was awesome. And I hope your research blossoms.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's always the goal, right?
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Jane.
This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software. They're offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UIbreakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.